So this class is so up for grabs. I don't know what time zone I'm in. I don't know what city we're in, but I'm here among my family and friends, and so I'm happy anyway. So God will take care of us. Let me tell you, I got a FedEx envelope the second or third day of trial when I'm just missing my family. I'm missing my world. I'm missing my life. Trial is a tunnel. You get about 4 hours sleep a night, and you just live in this tunnel, and it's all you can do to keep your focus. Every moment you've got, you try really hard to get everything together right for that jury and to do it right. And I open up this FedEx envelope, and I'm thinking, what did Steve Taylor FedEx me? I must have left something behind at church. And out come all of these cards from you guys. And I set them up. That's my hotel room. I set them up in my hotel room, and I pull two or three of them a day to read in the morning before I go to court. And I want to thank you for those prayers that were expressed there, the kind thoughts and appreciations. You all mean a lot to me, and I'm very thankful. Now, are you ready to play the Isaiah Challenge? I wanted to have a white shirt with a bow tie on so I would look like a game show host for you today. But I didn't land in time to go home and put on a white shirt and a bow tie. So I have my game show vest on, and that's as close as I can come. I don't even have good shoes on, so keep your eyes from here up. Okay, this is the reason we're playing the Isaiah Challenge. The book of Isaiah is a fantastic book. It's 66 chapters long. And if you were attending synagogue services on the Sabbath, among the liturgy at a Jewish synagogue, they will read from the Torah, the first five books of Moses, the law. But after they read from the Torah, they will read in a synagogue service the half Torah. Now, half Torah sounds like it's like half a Torah. It's not. In fact, it doesn't even have anything to do with Torah. Half Torah is from the Hebrew word haftarah, which means complete. And Torah in Hebrew means law. So keep the words different. But the half Torah is the prophet reading that would follow in a liturgy service, in a synagogue service, would follow the reading of the law. So you're there, you go. If you're a guy, you got your yarmulke on. And there's the man will read or chant from the Torah, and then he will chant from the prophets. Now, the prophets in the Hebrew Bible are much more expansive than the prophets in the Christian Bible. Christian Bibles divide up some books as historical books. Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Those are all included as prophets in the Hebrew division of Scripture. So for a Jew, those are prophet books. And the interesting thing is, more of the half Torah come from the book of Isaiah than from anywhere else in all of the Old Testament prophets. That's including Kings, that's including Chronicles, Joshua, Judges. You'll find more of them coming from Isaiah. Isaiah is very critical in Jewish mentality, and it's been that way for a long time. Now, let me step aside and tell you this. We don't know when the tradition started of reading half Torah, or reading from the prophets after the Torah. It goes way back. It was already in practice at the time of Jesus. One of the more prominent opinions that you'll read on where it started goes back to a Syrian king named Antiochus Epiphanes, who in the 160s, was 160 BC, was king over Palestine, and made it illegal to read from the Torah. So what the Jews did is they would find out of the prophets readings that corresponded to the Torah readings. And they would just read from the prophets instead for the Torah reading for the day. That's one idea of where this started. We don't know when or where or why, but we know by the time of Jesus it was going on, because Jesus was one of the men who at one service read the half Torah for the service. And we read that in the gospel accounts. Now, Isaiah is not just big in Hebrew issues. Isaiah is huge in the New Testament. Other than the book of Psalms, Isaiah is the most quoted book in the New Testament. You've got 1/4 of all Old Testament quotes in the New Testament are from the book of Isaiah. Not only that, you've got at least 40 direct quotes. And if you want to talk about allusions, you've got at least 390 places, almost 390. Where Isaiah is alluded to by the language or by the writings in the New Testament. So it's big in the New Testament. Isaiah, big in Western culture. It's had a profound influence on the music we listen to, on the books we read, and on the paintings we observe. So with all of that, don't you think we need to see how well we know Isaiah? That is the Isaiah challenge. I'm sorry, this slide took so long, we've got to use it twice. Okay, the Isaiah challenge. Here's the way your lessons have been written out. You should not be looking ahead. You should enjoy this class. I will put the questions on the screen. If you've ever been to a sporting event, this will be very much like what is the attendance at today's game. There will be four choices. One choice will fade down until we get the right choice. Your challenge is to see if you can guess the right one. Now, if you're gutsy, you might want to take a pen and you might want to circle. Now, the answers are in the back. That's not right. We got school teachers here. You don't look in the back at the answers. You take them home and read them if you want, but no peeking. So we're going to throw the questions up. If you want, you can be very gutsy and you can circle them. Elbow whoever's sitting next to you and say, I think it's B. But just be careful. Some of these are easy. Some of these nobody's going to get. Except me. Because I got the answers. I wrote them. Now, here's the key. This is an integrated class. This has more class participation than normal. You're allowed to hoop and holler if you get it right. You're allowed to derisively snort if your neighbor missed it, if you're not caring about how they treat you the rest of the day. You are allowed to respond. I want to know who gets them right and who gets them wrong. You ready? And if I had had time, I wanted to go home and get my little white shirt and bow tie so that I'd look like a proper game show host. That's the rest of the attire, but I didn't. All right, we start with this. Question number one. Which Isaiah passage is on the Isaiah wall in Ralph Bunche Park, New York City? It's very close to the UN building. It's either A, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Or it's B, and I might add each of these passages are from Isaiah. B, I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. C, he will bring forth justice to the nations. Or D, all the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. I will tell you this. This is the unofficial motto of the UN, if that helps you. This is the unofficial motto of the UN. And that's why it's there. This is also called the Isaiah Wall. It's called the UN Park. All right. You got your choices. It is not B. It is not C. How many of you think it's A? How many of you think it's D? It is A. Ah! Here's the wall. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Boom, boom, boom. Question number two. On August 28, 1963, on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, Martin Luther King gave the I Have a Dream speech. I personally, having tried to read and listen to every significant speech multiple times of the 20th century, am of the opinion that this is one of the top three speeches given in the entire 20th century. And if you read evaluations by speech gurus, it's always in the top five. In that speech, he quoted or referenced scripture multiple times, one line out of Isaiah. Which one is it? The whirlwinds will continue to shake the foundations until the bright day of justice emerges. We will not be satisfied until, quote, justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. See, it came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of captivity. Or D, every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places plain, the crooked places straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Are you ready? It is not A. It is not C. How many think it's B? Oh, how many think it's D? It's D.
Shall be exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with.
Amazing speech. Amazing speech. Okay, golfers. How many golfers out there? Christian golf movie, 7 Days in Utopia. The film is based on David Cook's book, God's Sacred Journey, following the broken career of a golfer named Luke Chisholm. The book begins with a quote from Isaiah 30:21. I think the movie does as well. It's the first thing you hear. So he's walking down the field. It's a broken fella coming back to Texas, and Robert Duvall he runs into. It's if you're a golfer, it might be something you like. Okay, which passage is it? So this is like a golfing passage. Golfing in Isaiah. A, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. B, the joy of our hearts has ceased. Our dancing has been turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. C, I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. Or D, Luke, my fellow worker, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The guy's name was Luke Chisholm. It's possible. No, that's not in Isaiah. Okay, let's get rid of that one. Are you ready? Are you ready? How many think it's A? How many think it's B? It's A! Woo! Yeah! Okay, Chariots of Fire. Remember the movie? Okay. Eric Liddell in the movie. Chariots of Fire delivers a sermon at the Paris Church of Scotland during the 1924 Paris Olympics. In the sermon, he quotes from Isaiah 40:31, which passage below was his sermon text. Are you ready? A, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. B, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to get a perishable wreath. We do it for an imperishable one. So I don't run aimlessly. D, do all things without grumbling or questioning, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain. Which one is from Isaiah? Well, it's not D, because he didn't talk about so that in the day of Christ I did not run in vain. If you picked D, pay better attention. C, that's Paul. All right. You ready? It is B, but they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles. Okay. Let's turn to a serious subject of Satan. That's a famous sculpture of Satan as a fallen angel. Which Isaiah passage is taken by some scholars to be speaking of Satan and his fall? Isaiah passage speaking of Satan and his fall. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. Or B. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Or C, how are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? How are you cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low? You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. You are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Or D, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. You were an anointed guardian cherub. You were on the holy mountain of God. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. D is there. Okay, you got your choice? You got your pick? Ready to start looking? All right, well, it's not B. That's what Jesus had said, though. And it's not A. Whoops, come on, go A. A is found in the book of Revelation. So it's C or D? D is not it. It's from the book of Ezekiel. It is C. How are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? How are you cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low? Next Satan question, while on the subject. Which name for the devil comes from Isaiah? A, Beelzebub. B, Lucifer. C, Satan. D, Accuser. Got your choices? It's not Satan. And it's the book of Revelation that calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. So we got Beelzebub. Oh, we got Lucifer. How many want Beelzebub? How many want Lucifer? Well, I mean, nobody wants. Poor choice of words. Well, I didn't finish then. How many want Lucifer gone there? It is Lucifer. What happened is, in fact, it's that same passage. It's, how are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? Day star, the morning star or the day star? Day star is also the same, the Hebrew word can also mean the carrier of light or the light bearer, the carrier of light. Hebrew, same thing. You translate it either way equally, okay? Jerome, in the late 300s, early 400s, is translating the Bible into the language of his day, which was Latin. And in Latin, if any of you remember, the word for light is lux. And in Latin, the word for carrier or bearer is ferris. Lux ferris, which becomes Lucifer over time in English. So this, by the way, is also a good reason. You don't just, if a scripture uses one word, you don't find every other scripture that uses that word and assume that they all fit together. That's not good exegesis. Revelation calls Jesus the day star. You would never want Jesus confused with this passage from Isaiah. So that's this. Okay, music. It's time for music. How are we doing time-wise? 11:32. Okay, we got time for a few of these. Here's your first one. Which musical piece draws some of its most famous lyrics from Isaiah? Jesus Christ Superstar, Handel's Messiah, Godspell, or The Marriage of Figaro? Is Clark here today? Clark, are you here? If he is, he won't raise his hand because he knows I'm going to call him up here and make him sing The Marriage of Figaro. That's got that Figaro, Figaro, Figaro. All right. It's not Jesus Christ Superstar. Okay, Tim Rice did not go to Isaiah for his lyrics on that one. And it's not Godspell, and of course it's not The Marriage of Figaro. It is Handel's Messiah. Handel's Messiah is written in three different parts, and each part's got different scenes with different oratorios in them. And it starts out profoundly with Isaiah and uses Isaiah more than almost anything else, though the beloved Hallelujah Chorus is found from the book of Revelation. But Handel's Messiah, let's look, for example, Comfort Ye My People. This is Isaiah 40. This is the way it starts.
Comfort ye.
Part of preparing this class was to make these musical cuts because every musical song I put in here is one that I really like, or I wouldn't have put it in to start with because I'm writing, I get to pick, right? So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, well, I don't want to cut that out. Well, I don't want to cut that out. How do you cut Handel's Messiah? But I did leave in the apostrophe because he sings that her warfare is accomplished. I didn't want us to think it's accomplished. Handel's Messiah, scene to, act, I guess it'd be scene two and act, scene three in act one, continues. Still Isaiah 40. This is the same thing Martin Luther King quoted. That was a hard one to cut. I wanted Clark to sing those. That may be why he wasn't here today. I thought, you know, just for grins, what would you like to take just 1 minute? It may only take 1 minute to hear it in Hebrew. Here's the passage in Hebrew. Those of you who remember to read your Hebrew, you're reading from right to left. I put the English down below. It says, V'nigla kabor Adonai, Yahweh, but you would not pronounce Yahweh. You would say Adonai as a Hebrew, or Hashem for the name. Va'ra'u kolbasar. I can't see that one. Yichdav ki pi Adonai diber, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Here it is. Now he'll add it in English. Add it to the day. That's Joel Chernoff, who's played for our class back when we did biblical literacy in the chapel. We ought to get him back sometime, as a Jewish Christian out of Philadelphia. Okay, next, number 8. Which of the following terms is not, kind of a trick question, which is not used by scholars in referencing aspects of the biblical book of Isaiah? The fifth gospel, the Hebrew revelation, the Mount Rushmore of biblical prophecy, or Deutero-Isaiah? Which one is not used? You ready? Got your pick? You there? Okay. Mount Rushmore of prophecy. Yeah, I mean, that one to me looked goofy, but it's used. Commentator on Isaiah used it. Watts, John Watts. I put the site in your thing. All right. All right. You ready? You ready? You ready? You feeling good about this one? The fifth gospel is used because there are so many passages in Isaiah that tell the entire story of Jesus. They tell the story of John the Baptist and his ministry, the birth of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, why Jesus taught in parables, how Jesus selected and what he did with his life and what his ministry was, and ultimately his service and his humility and his death and his resurrection. The fifth gospel. Okay, how many think it's B? How many think it's D? Aha! And the answer is B. And I say that maybe somebody's used it before, but I spent like 10 minutes trying to dream up some name that would trick you. And I dreamed that one up. Deutero-Isaiah is because the way the book is written, Isaiah either lived a really long time, which is very possible, and had incredibly clear visions about the future, which is also very possible. This is, after all, the hand of God at work in him. And for God, the future is as the past. Or the book of Isaiah was written by Isaiah, or had the prophecies of Isaiah the son of Amos in the first 39 chapters. And that's called 1st Isaiah with most scholars. 2nd Isaiah starts with chapter 40 and goes through chapter 55, though there is some fudge room depending upon which scholar you're reading. That's called 2nd Isaiah or Deutero-Isaiah. 3rd Isaiah then becomes the last 11 or so chapters, called Trito-Isaiah or 3rd Isaiah. And the idea is that the school of Isaiah, the prophetic school, continued to be followed by other prophets who, inspired equally by the word of God, continued to speak into their day in the vein of Isaiah, and it was tacked on. Which of those is true? Nobody knows the complete answer to. We do know it's part of God's holy scripture regardless, and we do know that prophets were behind it regardless, and we do know that at least 150 or 200 years before the time of Jesus, it was all one, because the famous Isaiah scroll find of the Dead Sea Scrolls has all of it put together. So, that's it. You too. Yes, you too. I don't think any modern band in my memory or knowledge quotes and references Scripture quite as much as you two. Now, I recognize that we've got a wide age group in this audience, and a lot of you are probably not the rabid U2 fan I am, but I am, and I wrote the lesson. So I get to put U2 in there. So here is the question. We'll start. We have two U2 questions here. Here's the first one. More so than any modern band, U2 constantly weaves scriptures and scriptural allusions into their songs. One of U2's most famous songs is Sunday, Bloody Sunday. The song is a composite of a number of different scriptures, singing about tragic terrorist event in Ireland, one of which comes from Isaiah. Which quote from the song comes from Isaiah? The trenches dug within our hearts, mother, children, brothers, sisters torn apart. Or B, wipe your tears away, oh, wipe your bloodshot eyes. Or C, we eat and drink while tomorrow they die. D, how long must we sing this song? Do you have your pick? By the way, does anybody really think they know the answer? Oh, I like the feel of that confidence. It's not A. And it's not B. D comes from the Psalms. It's C. A passage that's also quoted by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. An Isaiah passage Paul used as well. Here it is in the song. Bono, who wrote the lyric, does a wonderful job weaving in the message of Isaiah, this idea that we can go blithely through our life, eating and drinking while tragedy is on around us, instead of doing what we need to be doing, which is working in the midst of tragedy, trying to humbly serve and help the battle for God's kingdom be done on earth as it is in heaven, to reclaim the victory that Jesus won on a resurrection Sunday, Sunday, Bloody Sunday. So, that's one U2 song. But you get two. Okay, here's your other one. Which U2 song is what I would call a double dose of Isaiah? White as Snow, 40, Yahweh, or Rattle and Hum? Each a U2 song. Which one would we consider a double dose of Isaiah? Nobody's going to get this. Okay, I mean, this is just like obscure. This is like so obscure. Hey, Bono, if you're watching this on the internet, I want to tell you, you may not even get it. It's not 40. 40 is based on Psalm 40. We've played it in this class before. It's not Rattle and Hum. That's not anywhere I can find in the Bible. Yahweh, 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 or White as Snow. It is White as Snow. It's a double dose of Isaiah, I say, because the title itself comes from Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall become like wool. But I say it's a double dose of Isaiah. Because what you would not recognize unless you were sitting there really listening to it intently for about the 500th playthrough is that the melody they're using is really O come, Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is the name for Jesus given in Isaiah. So using Isaiah's tune while using Isaiah's title, I say is a double dose. Here it is. See if you can pick it out.
Once I knew there was a love divine.
Once I knew there was a love divine. Can you kind of hear the O come, Emmanuel? And ransom captive. And here's the lyric.
Who can forgive forgiveness where forgiveness
this one I couldn't cut, because this is like his baptismal waters, and at the same time his waters of death. This is a song about a guy who's a war veteran who's dying on the field of battle. And so you just got to listen for a second. I'm sorry. This is just... And we'll fade it out there. The water was icy as it washed over me. The symbols of baptism also, and the symbols of death, which baptism is a symbol of, all wrapped up in that song to the tune of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. An amazing little double dose of Isaiah. Okay, let's get back to the scriptures. Isaiah, which Isaiah vision is echoed in the book of Revelation? A, above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. Called out one to the other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, which is Isaiah 6. B, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me, which is later in the book of Isaiah. One of my favorite passages, I might add. C, also from Isaiah, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples. And your fourth passage from Isaiah is D, the sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light. Now, each of those, to some degree, is referenced in Revelation, to some degree. But one of them is very much a strong echo. Are you ready? Got your choice made? Not B, it's not D, it is A. It is A. Here's the Revelation passage. And once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne in heaven with one seated on the throne, around the throne, on each side of the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The four living creatures, each of them with six wings, full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Next. In the synagogue, I told you earlier, Jesus read the half Torah. Jesus went to his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. He was invited to read the half Torah. He unrolls the Isaiah scroll and reads Isaiah 61, 1 through 2. As all the eyes in the synagogue looked at him, Jesus said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Initially, the response was polite, but it quickly turned and the people sought to kill Jesus. Which Isaiah prophet passage, I mean, is the one that Jesus claimed was being fulfilled. Are you ready? Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up a signal over the people. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him, and they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. You shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. That's choice A. Got to keep these in your brain because they're long passages. B, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Or C, who has believed and who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him, like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. All of these passages out of Isaiah, why you see it called the fifth gospel, all clearly speaking of Jesus. Last one. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I've put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. So let me give you those choices in an abbreviated form. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, or the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointing me to bring good news. Who has believed what he's heard? Behold my servant. You ready? It's not A. It's not C. It is B. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Next passage. Like the Psalms, Isaiah contains a number of songs and passages in verse. We've got time for this one. Three of the songs below come from the Psalms. One from Isaiah. Which is Isaiah? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and now he has become my salvation. Or, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of a servant look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he have mercy upon us. Or, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. Or, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog. Those are your choices. I'll give them to you in an abbreviated form. Isaiah, a song. Are you ready? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. Quiz question number 14. We must go to Brother Paul. While Paul was awaiting trial in Rome, he spent initial days trying to teach the Jews in Rome about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said. Others did not believe. Those disagreeable people quit coming to hear Paul after Paul told them one of the following. Either wail, for the day of the Lord is near, as destruction from the Almighty it will come. Or hear this, O house of Jacob, who's called by the name of Israel and who came from the waters of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and confess the God of Israel, but not in truth or right. Or where he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing but don't understand, keep on seeing but don't perceive, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes lest they see with their eyes. Or what more was there to do for my vineyard than I haven't done? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to remove the hedge and it'll be devoured. All quotes from Isaiah, but which one did Paul say that drove all the Jews not willing to believe away? Not D, it's C. Go and say this to the people. You can hear, but you don't understand. It's not my fault, it's yours. Bob Dylan, also known as Robert Zimmerman Jr. Bob Dylan. Which Bob Dylan's sound song? That should be song, not sound. The sound doesn't really track Isaiah 21 because we don't know the sound of Isaiah 21. Which Bob Dylan's song tracks the imagery of Isaiah 21? Blowing in the wind? The times, they are a-changing. A hard rain's gonna fall. Or all along the watchtower. Which Bob Dylan song? Are you ready? It's not the times they are changing. It's not that one. Hard rains are going to fall. Blowing in the wind or all along the watchtower. A song which he's not really famous for. It came out on the John Wesley Harding album, I might add, 1967. But who cares about trivia? It's actually more famous for Jimi Hendrix's recording of it, though Jimmy left out a verse. But that's probably because he was stoned. The answer is All Along the Watchtower. Let me put up some of the lyrics. All along the watchtowers on the left, Isaiah 21 with a little Isaiah 61 on the right. There must be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine. Plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it's worth. Isaiah, a stern vision is told to me. The traitor betrays, the destroyer destroys. Two guys talking, neither one of them admirable. Instead of the joker and the thief, it's a traitor and a destroyer. Strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. Businessmen, they drink my wine. Plowmen dig my earth. None of them have any clue. The song continues. All along the watchtower, princes kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wildcat did growl. Two riders were approaching. The wind began to howl. The song mysteriously ends there. Isaiah says, for thus said the Lord to me, go set a watchman. All along the watchtower, princes kept the view. Go set a watchman, let him announce what he sees. When he sees riders, horsemen in pairs, let him listen diligently. Well, that's what Bob ends his song with. Outside in the distance, a wildcat did growl. Two riders were approaching, horsemen in pairs. The wind began to howl. Bob ends the song there, But anybody who wants to know what Bob's riders were approaching to tell the watchman have to just read Isaiah to find out. Then he saw, he who saw cried out, upon a watchtower I stand, O Lord, continually by day at my post I'm stationed whole nights. Behold, here come riders, horsemen in pairs. And he answered, fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the carved images of her gods he has shattered to the ground. In the vision Isaiah has, the two riders are approaching, and they're proclaiming that Babylon is fallen. Bob Dylan's song, the Joker and the Thief, they're sitting around commiserating. Two riders are approaching all along the watchtower. The princes are watching. Everybody's watching. Does anybody care to hear the message that the powerful have fallen and cast down to the ground? Bob telling us, be careful. Patriotism, to end the lesson. Which American patriotic song strongly relies upon words and images from Isaiah? America the Beautiful, This Land is Your Land, typo in your lesson, sorry. The Battle Hymn of the Republic, or the Star-Spangled Banner? It is not America the Beautiful. It is not D, the Star-Spangled Banner. And it is not This Land is Your Land. It is the Battle Hymn of the Republic, written during the Civil War. Isaiah, I've trodden the winepress alone from the peoples. No one was with me. I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Straight out of Isaiah 63. Now, points for home. I didn't put them in there because they're coming out of here. This is a book by Dr. J.H. Hertz. If you were at a synagogue, many synagogues would have these there. This is where your readings for the Torah and the Half-Torah come from. That's what this book is. This book is a selection. Well, it's got the Torah. It's got the first five books of Moses with some slight commentary. And then it's got the prophetic readings that come after that. So, for example, if today we were at the synagogue and we were reading, and we had today our synagogue reading, let's say, was the first few chapters of Genesis, which we're all familiar with. God created the heavens and the earth, and the creation is then detailed with the creation of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and the fall, and the expulsion from the garden, and all of mankind turns wicked, such that God has to wipe them from the face of the earth, and only Noah and his family are alive. That's our Torah reading. Would you like to know what prophet reading goes with that? This is the prophet reading. We have it in Hebrew on the right. We have it in English on the left. I know what you're thinking. Mark, get that English off of there. Okay. No. It is from Isaiah chapter 42. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them forth, that spread forth the earth which cometh out of it, that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. The creation story says, God formed man from the dust of the earth, and into his nostrils breathed the spirit of life, and man became a living being. Okay? So you can see how that kind of relates. Then look at the next part. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and have taken hold of thy hand, and kept thee, and set thee for a covenant of the people, a light to the nation, to open the blind eyes. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and have taken hold of thy hand, and kept thee, and set thee for a covenant of the people, a light to the nation, to open blind eyes, bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Does that remind you some of what Jesus had to say when he read out of Isaiah 60 or 61? This is an incredible passage, because it does clearly speak about Jesus. But if you look at the passage in its poetic beauty, here's what the passage is saying. And this is why the Jews even read the passage, though they don't link it to Jesus as we would as Christians. God created the heavens and the earth, and he made it wonderfully, and he made it good. And that's what he kept saying. It was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. And he breathed spirit of life into man, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And then sin came in and messed everything up. And with that sin that messed everything up, you have a horrid situation, especially in light of the fact that the Lord called us in righteousness. He didn't call us to be wicked and evil. But the Lord's solution is to work with us in the problem. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I've taken hold of your hand. I haven't just scolded you and said, go do it right. I've taken hold of your hand. I've kept you. I've set you apart to be a covenant of the people, a light to the nations. This is what I'm doing. I'm working redemption through my people. Working redemption through Jesus, who will open the blind eyes and bring prisoners out of the dungeon. Though the world through sin has become despair, God through Jesus brings life. And here's the point for home. Isaiah is an incredible book. There's so much in there. It's 66 chapters. We could spend easily a year and not even begin to skip the surface. But those passages don't mean anything to us if we're not in a relationship with the Lord God. Because as wonderfully as he made us, he's made Isaiah just as wonderfully. The book, the scriptures, the holy writings. He's breathed his spirit into those just as he's breathed his spirit into men. But it is of no use if we're not holding hands with him, letting him lead us in light, letting him lead us in righteousness, letting him take us from where we are to where he's called us to be. And it's at that point in time that not just Isaiah, but all scripture becomes alive. As Paul says, it's been written by the Spirit, and only the Spirit understands the mind of God and can explain it to us. So my point for home for everybody is, if you do not have that relationship with God, these quizzes, this class, all of this stuff is fun. But where it really counts in the day-to-day stuff is only where you're holding God's hand. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you so much for the riches of your scripture, the way they've permeated our culture, and the way we get it in history, the way we get it in classical music, the way we get it in modern music. Lord, the way your hand has communicated your message through people is profound. But Lord, it is my prayer for everyone who hears this class or enjoys this message, that they will learn the true joy that comes from enjoying you. And the way you reach down, hold our hand, you keep us, and you provide us ways to walk in the call that you've put upon us. That is our desire, Lord, to humbly serve you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.